It's after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Poll question today is, now that the season is over, now that the NFL season is over, what sport are you going to be following closely? Which sport is going to get most of your attention at this point? XFL? any takers? I mean, our boy Noob said he's going in on the Vipers? Heck yeah. Or something else will come up. I don't know.
The final round of golf is not okay on Sunday. I'll check it out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we have golf, huh?
I think Tiger Woods is coming back.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
That's exciting. What is it for you?
I'm probably going to go with, it's either between college basketball or NBA.
Yeah.
College is just because it wraps up first. And it's kind of nice because we'll get the all-star break for the NBA as college basketball starts to wrap up, go into conference tournament play, and then March Madness. So, yeah.
I'm getting excited about March Madness. Do you think any of our teams are going to get in there?
I know one of my teams is.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's
number one team in the country right now.
I did actually watch them play Auburn. Why are the Auburn fans? Why were some of the fans wearing like turkey suits?
It's Auburn.
What was that? Was that something?
I don't know.
I was like,
all kinds of weird stuff.
I don't get college. I've come around to some of the goofiness with college students, like the things that they do. Like, is it Arizona or Arizona State that does the? They pull out the curtain behind the free throw line, and they always come out of it and do wacky stuff. Is it who is that that does that?
That's Arizona.
Is it Arizona? I used to hate that stuff, but after seeing it kind of on a local level and wondering how you can grow the student interaction, yeah, it's probably necessary. Kind of like if you don't like primetime stuff, you probably should because it's necessary. This is what student athletes are after. That's what your fan base is after. But they do some wacky stuff in college sports.
Well, they're just big kids.
Yeah.
At this point.
Yeah. Like the San Jose State Duck. Do yourself a favor. Just go follow that guy on Twitter. He just showed up. I mean, they're the Spartans, aren't they? And he just showed up. He had a duck mask. He put his hoodie on, put the hood over the duck mask, and he carries a pillow. It's a pillow, but it looks like a loaf of bread. It makes zero sense, but he's always there. He will be there in the conference tournament. He'll be there during March Madness. A lot of times he's just sitting by himself. And for some reason, I saw that 2 years ago, and I'm like, I like what he's about. I like what he's doing.
Seems fun.
Mm-hmm. I think he's still a student. I think
he
he's like a senior.
Talkative, but certainly fun to just stand next to him.
Like, who just decided one day? Like, I think that's a great thing, actually. I think UNC should get four or five just random fans that are like, you want to build something? Show up as a dinosaur or something. I don't know. It's like, you got the Outlaws of Moby. Doesn't really correlate with Rams. You know, they're wearing cowboy hats and stuff. But they found it. Got a little niche going there, and maybe it's something where upcoming students take over and they get the hat and they get to join. I think that's a fun thing. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about the college side of things, no question about it. Looking forward to it. CSU's got a big one tomorrow against Boise State. It's feeling like it's trending toward the Bears right now, as far as any of our local teams having a real shot. Because I just, CSU's gone through so much with injuries and health and just not where they want to be. The Bears were different because they were going through growing pains, not injury pains. Necessarily, it's not to say they didn't have to deal with injuries. They did. Riley Abercrombie, for sure. There were a few guys, but they were mainly, you heard Steve Smiley on the show yesterday, they were mainly going through growing pains. And that's why it feels like right now, okay, the freshmen are starting to figure it out. The young guys are starting to figure it out. How about the Buffs, though, Angel? I mean, the Buffs started out inconsistent, but at least on their best days, they could beat really good teams. They beat Tennessee. They beat Texas A&M. Mark Johnson still feels that on their best day, they can beat anybody. Well, over the weekend, they lost to Utah 73-62. We know that they whooped up on Stanford, but they lost over the weekend. Now they have Arizona State, Arizona, USC, UCLA, and Utah. Said they pretty much had to run the table in order to even get a glimpse at an at-large. It's done now. They have to win their tournament. Every team that we cover here has to win their tournament to get it. Nobody's getting an at-large. Wyoming's not getting an at-large bid. I don't know what's going on over there. We talked to Cody Tucker about that. That's a fascinating story with the three Pac-12 transfers that everybody was so excited about all transferring back out of Wyoming. CSU's going to have to win theirs. UNC's would have had to do that anyway. It's the way the Big Sky Conference works. It's the way their conference and their side of, they're Division I basketball, but the conference that they're in, even if they were amazing, they don't get at-large bids. I think I'm right on that. You can never get an at-large bid if you're a Big Sky Conference team.
I don't think so.
Which is kind of weird. Because what if you just go on and, like, Eastern Washington's pretty good. But, yeah. So that's the way it's going to have to go down.
You could win the regular season Big Sky, and it basically means nothing.
It basically means nothing, and that's the tough part. You know, a lot of teams can say the regular season doesn't mean anything, but a lot can when you're saying, okay, we can win 20-plus games and we get those quad one wins. And then that matters. Those key games matter. But you can't just win quad one games and then lose all your quad two and quad three games, because then you're not going to get in that large bid. So that's the way it's going to have to go down for all of our local teams that we're covering. Eastside Chris has taken a team here in the XFL. Almost called them the XFL. Man, it's hard to mess up X. But I did. I grew up in the oil field, Roughneck era. Guess I'll take Houston.
There you go.
Who are the teams? I'm just kind of excited about it. I don't know. Am I wrong to be excited about this? I'm kind of thinking it could be fun. I got my team that I'm pumped for, the Seattle Sea Dragons. That's just going to be all kinds of fun. Listen to that thing. Listen to that. That is an actual sea dragon that was recorded over by New Zealand or something.
Mm-hmm.
Found that. There's the Arlington Renegades, the DC Defenders. That's kind of like the Commanders. The Houston Roughnecks, Orlando Guardians, San Antonio Brahmas. That's Tanner's team. Then I got my team. Seattle Sea Dragons, St. Louis Battlehawks.
Oh. That's great.
That's better than the Rockies bus thing that you did last year. This is it. This is your calling, man. You're going to be the San Jose State Duck, but for St. Louis Battlehawks.
Let's go.
Our boy Noob's going with the Vegas Vipers. You know why he's probably going to Vegas? Going to Vegas because Noob is, I think, a professional bowler. No joke.
Yes.
And I think he bowls at Vegas. Like, he bowls in legit tournaments.
One of the more unique bowling forms I've seen.
Does he do the spinnerooski thing, or does it a straight form down the...
Well, he kind of, like, throws his arm, like, straight up in the air behind him. And
nice.
And releases it.
It's
impressive.
He bowls in our World Food Bank turkey drive the last 2 years that we've done it. And he's becoming known. Seriously. This is when hooligans get into the Hall of Fame, by the way. Is you become known. I have people that come up to me and they're like, is that Dixon guy? What's he like? I'm like, he texts the show a lot. He's kind of mean. but Noob is becoming known now. Because I'll sign people up for this and they're like, is that guy, that hooligan guy that listens, is he going to be in again? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, I hope I'm not going up against him early. That's when you know you've arrived. As a Hall of Famer in this world. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So I was going to go into this spiel today about who the Broncos should be looking at as far as their own free agents and what they should be doing. Because there's a pretty significant list. I don't know that any of these guys you're looking at saying, I can't live without. I don't know if that's where the Broncos are right now with this. I mean, Kareem Jackson, good. can you live without him? I suppose. I don't really want to break up this defense by any stretch, but it sounds like, according to Zach Stevens, the focus is going to be offense first. The money is going to lean toward the offense. That's how it goes, man. This is the NFL. It's what happens. The Broncos went all in when Peyton Manning was here at the start. They went on all in on the offensive side. Then they started to slowly but surely trend back to the defensive side, and all the money was going there. And then by the time Peyton was gone, all the money was going to the defense. And then the money probably stayed with the defense for the next few years, really, until Elway started signing all these Joe Flaccos, and, well, that was a trade, but all the Case Keenums, and then finally George Payton signing Russell Wilson. The money has been on the offense. But the quarterback money has been on the offense. The rest of the money has been toward the defense. So is Zach saying that Sean Payton is going to really lean on the offensive side? So that makes me a little concerned about the idea of Kareem Jackson, Alex Singleton, Draymond Jones, and Jonas Griffith, who, well, again, was hurt a lot. But those are four names. I look at Alex Singleton and Draymond Jones. Those were the big names that were on my radar that I circled and said, I hope they can sign those guys. But you heard what Zach's saying. He's saying Draymond's going to want, 20? Is that real? $20 million? That used to be quarterback money not that long ago, Angel. Now that's awesome defensive ends. Yeah, just look at the money right now. We're the best, the highest base salaries. The money is you got Justin Simmons, then it's Courtland Sutton, but then it's Randy Gregory. That's Garrett Bowles. Then it's DJ Jones, Ronald Darby. It's kind of spread out, save for Russell Wilson, which certainly tips the cap. But the salary, it seems like, you're seeing a good mix of the defensive side versus the offensive side. Kind of a good mix, save for Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's base salary, though, this year, and again, it's all, the cap hit is $22 million, but his base salary is actually just $8 million. It's just the way they work the numbers. But Justin Simmons has the quote-unquote highest base salary right now. Obviously, with Russell's new deal, all of that will change. Does make me fearful, though, that you're maybe talking about getting a new defensive coordinator here in Rex Ryan, and then you might not sign back some of these guys. You might not sign back Singleton and Jones. I'd like to see those two back. Kareem Jackson, I suppose I can live without. Jonas Griffith was supposed to be a bigger deal than he was, so I suppose I can live without him. If they could get one of those guys back, and it's going to be Alex Singleton, who is not making a ton of cash. I mean, Alex Singleton was making not very much last year. Draymond Jones, his market value is pretty high right now. I mean, you're looking at, when I said 20, I think Zach was talking about a 2 to 3 year deal for 20. So market value for him could be 3 year, $20 million or something like that. 3 year, $25 million. I just don't see the Broncos doing that now. I don't think it's going to happen. On the offensive side, though, who would you like to see? Will we see much of these names back? Kareem Jackson, probably not. Mike Boone, probably not at running back, because Javonte Williams and Latavius Murray, maybe Josh Jacobs, they go in there. Dalton Reisner, unfortunately, you're going to have to probably get rid of that rejoin, Angel. It's probably not coming back. Eric Sauber, tight end? I can't imagine. The only way some of these guys might come back is if you look at it and say, well, we got to have bodies. An Eric Sauber could be one of those bodies. Deshaun Williams, maybe. Get him for cheap. Latavius Murray, good possibility. He was good last year. He was actually impressive. Plus, he has a connection with Sean Payton. Alex Singleton, outlined that already. Draymond Jones. Brett Rypien, probably not coming back. I'll bet you Sean Payton's going to want to get some guy that he believes in as a backup so he can choose at least something on the quarterback side. And then Jonas Griffith. I don't anticipate a lot of these guys coming back, which is what happens when you're a bad team. It's a funny thing about football. When you're a great team, your players get poached. When you're a bad team, you don't want to waste the time and bring them back. You got to be, if you want to see the same players over and over again come back, you got to be right around the middle of the road. Nobody's coming after them, paying them big money, but you're also not paying them big money either. Just enough to keep them signing back. That's if you want to see the same players over. I'm good with most of those names. I mean, it'd be a bummer to see Dalton Reisner go away, but that sure sounds like that's going to happen. The biggest one, my biggest ask on this list here is Alex Singleton. That's my biggest ask. I the rest of them, I suppose I can live without. And then Garrett Bowles, who's not a free agent, but they could actually release him. And that the way that his contract's structured, if they released him, it wouldn't be as bad of a salary cap hit. So expect changes. I think the only way some of these guys stay on is because you need bodies. 22 minutes after the hour. We'll jump out and get a quick break. Before we do that, let me thank Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They provide orthopedic services for injured workers. They understand how important it is to quickly treat workplace injuries and help you get back to work. They want to be your partner. If you're a business, if you're just working with them, whatever, to get you or your employee back to work, thanks to the great folks at Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. Check them out online at orthohealth.com. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Sean Payton's new motto, slow to hire, fast to fire. Well, he's certainly got the slow to hire part down. Definitely got that. We'll talk about it next.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and Their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling will take care of your heater situation. If you need a little colder throughout the day today, you just want to make sure everything's good and on the heat side of things, but also on the AC. It's February 14th. I don't say Happy Valentine's Day to dudes, but I just, do you say, I don't, like, I heard people saying, like, Happy Valentine's Day. Do you say that to people that are not your Valentines?
Yes.
You do?
I mean, I'll say it to my family. Just text them, hey.
My mom does that too, and I'm like, but I'm not your Valentine. It's weird to me.
Not everyone has a Valentine, Brady.
I know, but when I didn't have a Valentine, I still didn't wish other people Valentines. Happy Valentine's Day,
thank
Angel.
You.
Okay.
Happy Valentine's.
Okay. There we go. All right. We got that out of the way. I've changed my ways. But with Valentine's Day here, we know that spring is not that far around the corner. So Lemons Heating and Cooling will help you out, get the air conditioner fixed up, ready to go as well, because maybe you ran that thing ragged last year. Okay, fine. Happy Valentine's Day. Do you remember doing like the Valentine's Day cards and stuff when you were a kid? That was always so fun.
You had to learn everyone's name in your class.
Well, I only had I was a small town. I had like 20 other classmates. You knew them all. And then you had to write a little message on each card, and then you'd go around and get everybody's cards. And
there was that one special card that you kept for that special person?
No, she wasn't in my class.
Oh. She's in another class.
She was
right?
In another class.
And you get your little
she
bag
went to
on
a
your
different
desk,
school.
And you all walk around, drop your candies and stuff.
Oh, yeah, man. I always loved the cards. Just getting the cards and see who would come up with what. You know, some would do Care Bears, and some would do superheroes, and other things, Ninja Turtles. I would always hit up the Ninja Turtles. If my mom got me something like teddy bears and hearts and stuff, I was like, Mom, come on. We got a reputation here. You know, hook me up with some Batman or some Ninja Turtles. I can't look like an idiot here. Come on. What are we doing here? That was always fun. That was a good time. Tanner is pretty bitter about Valentine's Day today.
Apparently he doesn't celebrate.
I mean, I'll, fine. I'll do flowers and all that stuff, chocolates and stuff. But we're just, you know, we'll probably watch something together tonight, hang out. I don't know. We don't really do much on Valentine's.
Maybe go see Titanic later.
Yeah.
Watch it on the big screen.
That'd be a good thing to do.
By myself.
Well, he may be single,
but I'm not Jack Dawson. It's in a block of ice somewhere.
That's a great way to look at it. I'm single, but
I'm not that guy.
She didn't let me up on the thing. She didn't even try.
Well, you met a girl for a couple of days, and suddenly you're in love? Mm.
She could have tried to let him on there. Like, at least experiment. Did she? I don't remember.
It's very quick, and a lot of people just overlook it.
It's not going to work.
Because they both try to get on it, and it flips. And that's when she gets on it, and he helps her up there, and he's like, all right, just hold here, and we're going to wait for the lifeboats.
Surely there was something else they could swim over to, and he could jump on top of it.
We can't leave her in the ocean. It's dark. It's scary. It would be traumatic.
I can't watch the back half of that movie. Like,
that's the whole point of the movie.
I can't do it. I like the story and the love story and all stuff. It's all right. It's pretty good. But when they hit the glacier, and then it's probably 45 minutes later, maybe, that's when things start to happen on the boat. And that's
when it's that slow buildup of like panic and just like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Trying to get on lifeboats, and Jack's down in the basement chained up, and Rose has to go get him. And then she gets on the boat, and then she jumps back onto the boat.
She could have got out, Scott. Well, she got out anyway, so she got to live. She at least got to live with doing the right thing. I see some like funny things on the internet, man. There's like Titanic 2, and they like show all these clips of Leonardo DiCaprio in various movies. Mm-hmm. But they're like, we're bringing him back, and then they find him in the ocean, frozen solid, and he comes back, and it's just
that could rival Avatar. If James Cameron did a Titanic 2,
that would be good, man.
The Way of Water.
Yeah, I just remember at our small hometown theater, the crowd, it was so packed in there, I had to sit on the floor. In a movie theater, that's not a good place to sit.
No.
But the movie was amazing. And it was like, at the end of it, very depressed. But, you know, it's what do you expect? You knew it was coming. We all knew it was coming. Didn't know about the love story thing. Didn't know that was going to happen. But that was kind of the main deal there. Yeah, interesting. So happy Valentine's Day to the Hooligans. First Advantage text line. 888-530-0043. Look at that. In the matter of 10 minutes, I changed my stance on that. We can change. I just never did it. People would say it, and I'd go, we do that. That's fine.
It's like one of those holidays that anyone can kind of jump in on.
Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah, everybody can get into it. Tanner was talking about the history of it. He's a little off on it. Back in like, I don't know, the year, Roman times, there was an emperor or a Caesar that was like, hey, I need more military. I need a lot more military. I'm going to get aggressive here and start taking over the freaking world. We couldn't get enough people signing up to be in the military. Because why? They wanted to stay home with their families. They were worried about staying home with their families. So it was a Colossus was one of them, was the Caesar or emperor, whatever the hell it was. And he was like, fine, then we'll just outlaw marriage. We're not going to have, there's no marriages, there's no families, we're not going to do any of that stuff, so you can't fall in love. But there was a priest or some kind of a saint, and his last name was Valentine's, and he's like, I'm going to do secret weddings. So he did a bunch of these secret weddings for people, and he got them married because he fought it, being a martyr, I guess, and then he ultimately got arrested, thrown in prison before he was beheaded. He wrote a little letter to a jailer who was a woman, and said, hey, you were great to me, blah, 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 awesome, thank you so much. I'm sorry I had to end this way. You're Valentine.
Wow.
That's lore anyway. But there's truth behind it because that stuff did happen. But there were also a bunch of St. Valentine's back in those days. So Valentine's must have been a very popular name.
It's not a flying baby with a bow and arrow?
I tried to go learn about that today and see why that is. But I got bored with the story pretty fast. But I do love history. I do look at the holidays.
I didn't know any of that.
How did this stuff come about? You know, but I do wonder why is a baby part of Valentine's Day with angel wings or whatever and a bow and arrow? Who came up with that? It's amazing to me. 34 minutes after the hour, let's talk about Sean Payton's motto. Slow to hire, fast to fire. Should be on a t-shirt, man. We'll talk about
enough
that next.
Mottos.
Yeah, he's got a motto. He's got Buckham Bronco. He's got Bronkowski. And he's got all these things that he's doing. And Russell Wilson's got his stuff.
Broncos country, let's ride.
Is this the whole thing just going to continue being a gimmick? That's what I worry about. And then you bring Rex Ryan in, who put the foot in football. 34 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Is there any concern that Sean Payton hasn't hired his coordination staff just yet? No offensive coordinator and no defensive coordinator to be named to the staff yet, but he was doing the Super Bowl thing. He was doing Radio Row. He was all over talking to Josh Jacobs and such. Ronald Curry, I think, it was the quarterback's coach for the Saints, is one of the names that's coming up as far as potentials for offensive coordinator for the Broncos. And then, obviously, Rex Ryan. Those are the two names that are now up. The offensive coordinator doesn't matter that much because it's going to be Sean Payton. I get it. But you got to get your defensive coordinator. And I just kind of wondered if he'd find a guy that runs a similar type of set as Ejiro Evero. You know, if Payton can go through and learn about that defense and basically in his hiring process is like, hey, Evero was good and Evero kind of picked up where Vic Fangio left off. So let's not rock the boat too much. Let's stick with a similar style of defense and, you know, just really good cover corners and solid safeties that can play zone, but also can play really good man-to-man, and then linebackers that can really control the middle of the field, both run and short passes. Can we 3-4 style defense? Can we get that kind of thing going? But if you hire Rex Ryan, it's going to be whatever he's feeling, whatever ultimately he wants to do, and then you just invite. You got more stuff. Rex Ryan was pretty, as Zach pointed out in the first hour. Ryan was pretty vocal about Russell Wilson and about his struggles. I don't know exactly what all he said, but I know he was vocal. I know he was negative against Russ. Does Sean Payton not care about any of that stuff? And I know there's a lot of Broncos fans that are like, good, serves Russ right. You know, he was terrible. It does come off as Sean Payton not really caring about who his quarterback is. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because he's your quarterback. He ain't going anywhere. At least next year.
There's some concern, but I think Payton is such a good offensive-minded person that it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, he'll figure it out. Like, look what he did with Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater for a month and a half. Like, he can figure it out and put your players in a position to succeed on the field. The thing with Russell is you're dealing with more than just a quarterback.
Yeah.
You're dealing with the reputation from right. Seattle last year in Denver, and your responsibility is can you fix him? Can you get him back to what he was?
Right, and I get
maybe he's just looking at it as, I'm just working with my quarterback.
I think he reads the room pretty well, too, and knows that Broncos country is very sour on Russell Wilson right now. So if he goes all, he's going to say the right things like, yeah, I believe in Russ. We can get it right. But he's not going to go overboard because he doesn't want to do what Nathaniel Hackett did. But is it weird that, like, he had more positive things to say about Josh Jacobs than he did his own quarterback? But Josh Jacobs ran for 1,600 yards. It's not a lie. It's the truth. None of what Sean Payton has done to this point, in my opinion, has actually been the wrong thing to do. They're just things that you almost more or less wonder if they'd be better handled in the shadows. If he wants Josh Jacobs, maybe that's not for all of us to see with Up and Adams, you know, with Kay Adams. Maybe saying, oh, no, Russ ain't going to have a quarterback's coach on our facility. Like, maybe that's something you handle in person. Maybe the letter Buck thing or what a Buckum or whatever it is something where, you know, you laugh it off when Pat McAfee asks you about the catchphrase. And you just say something like, you know, who knows? All that stuff is up for discussion. But so far, all three of those things, on top of a few others, have already come across as, oh, we're going to get kind of more of this stuff. Buck 'em, slow to hire, fast to fire. We've got all these little catchphrases. And maybe that's why Greg Penner liked Sean Payton so much, because they're a corporate business, corporate world. Corporate world's all about, you know, they have their little sayings. Their little stair steps and their ways to create cohesion and with verbiage and things of that nature.
Synergy.
There it is. Synergy. You know, they talk with their all of their fingertips pressed together when they're talking, kind of like, what's her name? Vice President Kamala Harris, the way she talks. She just kind of puts all of her, like they're two ducks kissing when she talks. Drives me absolutely insane. Here's what we're going to do, okay? Slow to hire, all right? Stay with me. Fast to fire, all right?
It rhimes.
Yeah.
That's a plus.
Buck 'em, okay? Okay, because the competition, you know, buck 'em.
Could mean multiple things.
Buck out of here, right? I'm going to tell you what my gut tells me. I have a weird feeling here. I just have a bad feeling that all of this Fox stuff changed the Sean Payton that was so good. I think that media does change you as a head coach. You're a different guy. And, you know, I'm not even going to – yes, he was with Drew Brees. Yes, he was a great coach. Drew Brees was a great quarterback. I'm not saying that one couldn't do it without the other. It's not what I'm saying at all. It's something you bring up and you can question it. I don't think you're a jerk if you at least go, hey, I wonder if Sean Payton can be as good without a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's a legitimate wonderment. But it's not – I'm not saying that he can't. In fact, I'm confident that he can. I just wonder, though. He was out all week. I get the timing was strange, but every time I heard of a coach getting hired, it was like that day, you know, in the NFL. That's why you have to wait for the Super Bowl, because you got to wait till these guys are done.
Could it be as simple as he is readjusting to not being biased? Or not being... Or
maybe
being not like, not being biased,
right? Yeah, I get,
when you're
I get
on
where
Fox
you're
and you're in the media, it's practice, good practice. Do not show favoritism or anything to a specific team. And maybe he's still trying to getting out of that into, oh yeah, no, I'm the head coach of the Broncos. This is my team. Here we go.
Well, and he's still being paid by Fox, so he's, you know, maybe that's good on him for saying, I got to finish the job. I can't just get up here and be middle of the road and not comment or say
he's
anything.
He's not burning bridges.
No, yeah, I want to make sure that if I get fired or if I retire in 5, 6, 7 years or whatever, I can go right back to Fox. Did you hear about, tight end that's doing color commentator for Greg Olsen. He's going to go from $10 million after this year to $2 million because Tom Brady's going to take his spot?
Yep.
Dude, I get it, but Greg Olsen was pretty good.
He's been very solid.
I think Greg Olsen's better than Tony Romo. Is he better than the legends of it, like the Collinsworths and such?
Not yet. He's. I heard this
Collinsworth
the other
good.
Day.
He gets a bad rap.
Greg Olsen, he's good because you're not talking about him during the game. It's right. Not, oh my God, Greg just won't shut up.
The best broadcasters are ones that you don't really latch on to something they said.
I don't know, Jim.
No.
Oh, there he goes.
You know what? A lot like Jerry Schimmel, to be honest. Like Greg Olsen. Like Jerry is just so smooth. He narrates a wonderful story. He doesn't have a lot. You know, he'll say bullseye and fun stuff like that, but he doesn't have a lot of these wacky catchphrases. He's just a solid broadcaster that you walk away going, that was really easy to listen to. I think Greg Olson's like that. Yeah, Tony Romo's like, whoa, snap, wahoo! You know, just like a superhero comic book doing games.
At first, Chase is on the case.
At first, I liked it. Now it's old to me.
Well, because he's not doing the predicting stuff anymore. It's, and that's what people liked about him.
Yeah.
And then he took like, oh, I'm popular. I must be doing fun, wacky stuff more often.
It's a little too much. Then they had him playing like Bill Murray's character in all those Caddyshack commercials.
That was weird.
It's like, dude, you can't replace Bill Murray. And you damn sure can't replace him with Tony Romo.
No.
Replace him with an actor if you're going to do it. But what are we... Like, I thought it was weird. They show Bill Murray's character is like up against a tree. And he hits the tree or whatever, and it causes the ball to go into the hole. And so they win or whatever. I'm like, who is that character? And then the next commercial they show, and it's actually Tony Romo.
I didn't recognize him at first.
Tony Romo is him. I was like, just don't even show him at all. What are we doing here?
Just getting some news here.
Uh-oh.
The Las Vegas Raiders have officially released Derek Carr.
How about that?
How about that for a breakup?
Carr finally said, I'm not going to be the nice guy. I'm not going to waive the no trade. You're not trading me.
You're not getting anything.
You're not getting anything now. I agree with him 100%. The Raiders basically crapped all over him and then said, hey, I know we crapped all over you, but we got a team here that would like to offer something for you, and it'd be the Saints. And he's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to go to where I want to go.
Also interesting that apparently Aaron Rodgers is blackout. Event started today. He was on McAfee's show and he said, all right, it's going to black.
So he's there?
Yes.
Are people there to help him if he goes insane?
I don't think he needs help. I don't think anyone could help Aaron.
Holyoke says, are you smelling what The Rock is cooking with the XFL? Who you got, Holyoke? There's still a few teams left, but you can't take the Seattle Sea Dragons. They are my team. That's pretty cool. I'm pretty proud of my choice. Don't know who else playing. Jim Haslett's the coach.
Don't Google Sea Dragon.
Yeah.
It's not as intimidating as you think.
There's a few pictures that are like, whoa, freaking Sea Dragon. And then the rest of them look like freaking
One's a Sea Dragon horse. And one is a dragon in the ocean.
Most of them look like seahorses. Like the ones we were looking at, like, that's not intimidating. Come on.
I mean, if I saw that swimming up next to me, I'd probably freak out.
I still like kick it away. I'd be like, ew, gross.
Looks like a seahorse that slimy
went
on a fun night in Vegas.
Slimy little seahorse, get away from me. But the real sea dragon, I just followed them on Twitter. They're like, it's a big, gigantic thing that probably wraps around pirate ships.
So there's sea dragons and kraken in Seattle.
Yeah.
Stay away from there.
Because, man.
There's mythical beasts there.
I love it. And I love the kraken too.
That's good
rum as well. The Kraken rum. Mm. Woo, that's good. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. Let's get to what's on the tube and what's on locally tonight. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
There's a new Ed in town. Hear the blue and gold spring football game on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Cable's Pub and Grill. We got Tuesday Burger Madness for just $9.99. Stop by, tell him you heard about him right here on The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Texter from the 970, give me the Houston Roughnecks. We got two. We got two for the Houston Roughnecks so far. Nobody's joining me on the Seattle Sea Dragons thing. I guess I can open this up. Other people can root for them as well. I'm not going to just be the one fan. I'm not going to be the San Jose State Duck. I'm not going to do that. What's on the tube tonight, or just what's on? Air Force is taking on Utah State at 7 o'clock. In hockey, in the NHL, Avs hoping to get back at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay schlacked them last week. That's at 7 o'clock on altitude. Wyoming at New Mexico, that's an 8 o'clock game on CBS Sports Network. And then tonight on KFKA, we got Brew Talk starting up at 5 o'clock. And then 6 o'clock, the UNC Coaches Show. Holyoke's texting in, I got a poll for Sloter and the Arlington Renegades. We go. So we got a couple. We got a Vegas Vipers fan. We got a couple of Roughnecks fans. Renegades. I got the Sea Dragons. Can't even remember my own team. And you got the Battle Hawks.
Let's go.
Let's get it done. It's been building up a little bit. We're going to have some fun with this.
We will make XFL fans out of you yet.
We will. We're going to, you know what? They're going to see an uptick in Northern Colorado. They're going to be like, who the hell's talking about the XFL? And then the Rock's going to call. And then show business, baby. Just because we invested in the XFL. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.